Have you ever been watching a movie and you get to the point where everything comes together, all the good guys are happy, and all the bad guys are done away with? You expect to see the credits roll at any time. But the movie keeps going. There's more. When you read the first three chapters of Jonah, you expect that the story should be over. After some adventures, Jonah finally goes to Nineveh, preaches to them, and they turn to the Lord. The preaching worked. But the book goes on for one more chapter. This is not a movie, this is real life. And this final chapter of Jonah needed to be recorded for us because Jonah still had some lessons to learn. I know I'm not alone in thinking too often that Jonah was just a foolish man without seeing that these lessons are for me as well. And the Holy Spirit has recorded this final chapter of Jonah for you as well. Jonah had just finished the most successful mission trip of all time. Any missionary would pray that his work would be that successful. And apart from traveling to a city far away, there really wasn't a lot of work for Jonah to do. The sermon that he was to give them was already given to him by God, and it was a very brief and simple sermon. Od arba'in yom, v'Nineveh napaket. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. It was a strike of the law, and everyone was convicted. But they turned to the Lord, and they sought his compassion. And the Lord relented from destruction. And 120,000 people were spared. So Jonah should have been thrilled. Instead, he was angry. You see, there's no logic to his anger, but let's look at it anyway. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 4, he gives this strange little prayer. Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. It might be the worst prayer recorded for us in Scripture. Notice how Jonah uses God's description of himself against him. It was blasphemy. Now Jonah was upset because he felt he did everything for nothing. He had gone all the way out to Nineveh. Never mind that 120,000 people turned to the Lord. He figured, if God was just going to save them anyway, why would he have to send someone? What was really disturbing is that he was disappointed that they did turn to the Lord and they weren't destroyed. Because he had set himself up on the east of the city to watch what would happen. He was expecting to see Sodom and Gomorrah, the sequel. Jonah didn't really know what he was saying. He didn't seem to know the danger that he put himself in. While expressing his anger to God, he actually asked God to kill him. Now, then he really loses his mind when God makes a plan for him to shield him from the sun. And then the next day takes it away. He asked God to kill him again. And this time when God asks him, do you have any right to be angry? He says, yes, I do. I have every right to be angry over the plans, over Nineveh, and over everything that you've sent me to do. And we must be careful when we scoff at this man, because Jonah was a servant of the Lord. And you are also God's servants. Now, have you been faithful to the Lord's commission to go into all the world and preach the news of Jesus Christ? Now, you don't have to do a round trip of the world, but have you neglected the spiritual needs of your neighbors? Do you take the Lord's loving kindness for granted? Is Jesus just a word on your lips? Do you get angry with God when he gives you something but then takes it away? not realizing that all we have is God's alone. We didn't labor for it. Now, you may never have asked God to kill you, but do you sometimes dread tomorrow and lie in bed not wanting to get up instead of thanking the Lord for the day He has made and for the time of grace to work in His kingdom? You know, this is getting grim. And we know from Scripture that any one of these sins is a rebellion against God and deserves damnation. But that most holy God is also a patient God. Is He ever patient? Look at Jonah. Twice Jonah asked God to kill him, and twice God had compassion on him and spared him. God doesn't give up on you either. For the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, who took all of those sins that you just thought of that I listed, and all the ones that you forgot, and all the ones that you don't even know of, He took all of those sins and nailed them to the cross on which He died, and He rose on the third day. Because of that, God is gracious and compassionate to you. He's abounding in loving kindness, and He relents from destruction. Rejoice! Your sins are forgiven. When you fail in your sanctified life, God is there to patiently ask you, do you do right to be angry? When you see that you don't, we may confess our sins and point to the cross of Jesus, that cross that Jesus willingly went to for us. So this is really good news for you personally. It was really good news for Jonah, too. But it gets better. The last two verses of Jonah chapter 4, the whole book of Jonah, are a great ending for a book. But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" God's compassion is for all people. No one is excluded from this message. The people of Nineveh were known for being a nasty bunch, but God's compassion was for them as well. And now today, we are still surrounded by Ninevites. We are surrounded by people who do not know their right hand from their left hand. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know the Lord. Now, they may know of God. They know that we Christians worship someone called God, but they do not really know Him. They see Him as an angry and vengeful judge. They're incapable of knowing of His compassion through His Son, Jesus Christ. How can they know unless they are pointed to that gospel and the Word? And how will they know if they are not told? So the message of the book of Jonah should fire you up to go and tell all of God's compassion for all. Do not run in the other direction like Jonah did. Don't assume that some people are not worth it. The worse someone is, the more they need to hear Jonah's message of God's compassion. Repent, for God is gracious and just to forgive us our sins. His compassion knows no bounds. Just look at how far His compassion extends just in this fourth chapter of Jonah. It extended to a rebellious prophet, extended to 120,000 people who did not know their right hand from their left, and they're a Gentile nation as well, extended to their children, and even extended to their cattle. Okay, cattle don't have souls, so they don't really need Jonah's message. But it shows you how all-encompassing God's love is for His creation, which He created so that all may know Him. Some people think that Jonah ends abruptly. That's another grievance moviegoers have. When a movie ends and you wonder, well, what happened? What happened to Jonah? Well, this is great writing and directing from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't beat a dead horse like some movies do. What more needs to be said? Nineveh repented, and God relented. And Jonah learned his lesson too. And we pray that we have all learned this lesson. God's compassion is for all. God has invited us to the marriage feast of the Lamb in eternity. And he wants us to invite everyone. So tell of it. Amen. We'll sing hymn 34, verse 2.